So let's start. So we're going to continue with the chapter 8 discussion. And first we're going to chant Jai Radhamadhava. We'll start. Jaya Radhamadhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radhamadhava Kunya Bihari Gopi Janamalaba Giribada Thaguri Gopi Janamalaba Giribada Thaguri Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Dandana Yashoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhuva Kunya Bihari Jai Radha Madhuva Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balla Guba Giri Bhadraudri Gopi Jana Balla Bha Giri Bhadraudri Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Randahuna Shodanandana Rajajanudandana Yamunatira Manachari Yamunatira Manachari Jayarandu Madhuva Kunjabihari Jayarandu Madhava Kunya Bihari Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidgacharya Host of Teta Siddhashi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chanana Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Goti Vaishnava Vrinda Gijai Namacharya Srila Huidas Thakur Gijai Prem Se Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sirvaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopagopata Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Kiri Govardhan Gijai Vrindavanam Gijai Maturidam Kijai, Jagadavasami Kijai, Yamunamai Kijai, Shimali Lassi Devi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai, Gaur Premananda, Hari 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 Bol. All glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya. Udale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nivasesha Shunyavani Paschatadeshte Omagana Timidanda Shaganandjana Shlakaya Chakshur Nidhitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, we're going to continue with the Gita. Today, of course, has been Ekadashi. I don't know if it was Ekadashi everywhere in the world, but it was Ekadashi here in North Carolina. And very nice Ekadashi, nice weather, and we were able to chant 65 rounds today, which was nice. It's always enlivening to chant more rounds. One time, I was sitting at the GBC meeting, and we were all sharing what is our favorite hobby? And I said, chanting 64 rounds on Ekadasi. So it's a pretty good hobby. So that's a hobby, 64 rounds on Ekadasi, if I don't have any preaching service to do. Preaching service takes precedence. In other words, if you have service for Krishna, important service for Krishna, then do it. That's more important than chanting 64 rounds on Ekadasi. I don't stay up all night, and I do not fast. I fast from grains and beans, just like Prabhupada did. Prabhupada did not fast completely on Ekadasi. In fact, I was listening to some memory that a devotee was having about Srila Prabhupada, and it was very interesting. Prabhupada said several things. Anyway, so Prabhupada, it was Ekadasi, and first thing Prabhupada said, he was talking to devotees, he said, lotus seeds that are fried in ghee are very good for Ekadasi. So the devotee said, all right, we better get them for Prabhupada. But then 5 minutes later, a man who Prabhupada had never met before walked in with a whole plate of lotus seeds that were fried in ghee. And Prabhupada grabbed the handful, put them in his mouth, and says, very nice, fried in ghee. And then another time, Prabhupada said, that, yes, I can teach you how to make puris and pakoras during Ekadasi. And Prabhupada was talking about amaranth powder. You know, amaranth is actually not a grain. Amaranth or amaranth, whatever it is. And so Prabhupada basically told the devotees, and he showed how to make, like, chapatis out of amaranth flour, which is not a grain, which is really nice. And I take amaranth on Ekadasi. I take amaranth every day, actually. It's very healthy for you. It's one of the ancient grains in the earth. Actually, it's far older than wheat is. So amaranth, and Gopal has told us, Radgira flour, it's called in India. And it's very good for making things on Ekadasi. So, you know, there's many things you can eat. So Prabhupada, I do not recollect Prabhupada fasting completely on Ekadasi. Although you can do it. But Prabhupada just like spend all of his energy in preaching. And he didn't pay so much attention to reducing the eating. He just, sometimes when he was preaching very enthusiastically, he could eat 9 or 10 chapatis on non-Ekadasi days. So Prabhupada's philosophy was preaching is the essence, utility is the principle, books are the basis, purity is the force. Those four principles. You know, purity is the force. Obviously, you have to be chanting and chanting purely to be spiritually potent, like that. And Gopal just sent an advertisement. Gopal said his wife has a book with so many different recipes, and you can order it from Gopal. Anyway, devotional dishes. Anyway, so Gopal, I'm sure, will send everybody the link on the chat window where you can order a cookbook. His wife is an expert cook. Anyway, I think some of you might have met Gopal. He's a very nice devotee, and his wife is from India. She's from Jaipur, and she cooks expertly, and she makes nice Rajasthani paintings too. And she's been staying here with Gopal for so many years in North Carolina. So anyway, so let's get on with the Bhagavad Gita class. So Ekadasi ki jai. Ekadasi is a day actually for increasing the hearing and chanting. So do whatever is necessary to increase the hearing and chanting. You can fast, no problem. But if you fast and you end up feeling miserable and decreasing your hearing and chanting, then that's not really Ekadasi. You know, Krishna is not impressed by your physical austerities. That doesn't impress Krishna at all. Krishna is impressed by your bhakti. And your bhakti is shown by your service to him. And somehow either participating or being helpful. in the service of bringing other people to Krishna consciousness. That's the most wonderful, ecstatic, dear service to Krishna. If you want to become Krishna conscious really quickly, that's the way to do it. That's the quick path. Okay, let's go on with the Bhagavad Gita. 1 second, we're going to share the screen. We are on text 7 of the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and this text is one of the key texts in the Bhagavad Gita, as we'll hear. Mata parataram nanyat kinchirasti dananjaya mai sarvam idam proktam sutre manikina nipa mataha beyond me parataram superior na not anyat kinchit anything else asti there is dananjaya O conqueror of wealth mayi in me sarvam all that be idam which we see proktam is strung, sutre, on a thread, mani, gana, pearls, eva, like. O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. Pretty self-explanatory, except why pearls strung on a thread? Because the pearls are all hanging there, but if they're strung really tightly, you don't see the thread. You can understand there's a thread by indirect inference. It's the same thing by inference because they're just sitting there. Either that or there's some miracle flex glue by which they're held together and they can flex like that. But I don't think there's a flex glue. I think it's a thread. And we know there's a thread because if you cut it, the pearls all fly off. But anyway, so it's like that. You don't see Krishna, but just the fact that everything is functioning so amazingly, and as we've spoken many times before, on the molecular level, or the atomic level, or the nano level, subatomic level, or the cellular level, it's amazingly complex with all these different interacting elements. It's like gears in a machine. Let's say you have a machine with 20 gears, which is not unusual. All those gears have to function properly for the whole machine to function. So imagine if you had a machine with 100 million gears. Now a cell has more parts than that. More parts than 100 million, pretty amazing. And all those gears were perfectly meshed and working perfectly. You would never think that those gears came about by chance, or those gears are functioning by chance, or those gears are oiled by chance, or they're on, you know, the gears aren't just there, they have to be on like an axle or a hub or something like that. And so, the same way, we can see that everything's resting on Krishna. When we look at this world, it's a way indirectly to understand the existence of superior intelligence. There's a common controversy over whether the Supreme Absolute Truth is personal or impersonal. As far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, the Absolute Truth is the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and this is confirmed in every step. In this verse in particular, it is stressed that the Absolute Truth is a person, that the personality of Godhead is the Supreme Absolute Truth, is also the affirmation of the Eternal Samhita. The first verse in the 5th chapter is Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. What that means is Krishna Ishvara Parama, Krishna is the supreme controller, and also Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. Krishna has a form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. That is the Supreme Absolute Truth, Personality of God is Lord Krishna, who is the primeval Lord, the reservoir of all pleasure. Govinda, in the eternal form of complete bliss and knowledge. That's why when we serve Krishna, we feel great pleasure. These authorities leave no doubt that the Absolute Truth is the Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. The impersonalist, however, argues on the strength of the Vedic version given in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, Tato yad Uttaratam tara rupamanam mayam yarita vidur amritaste bhavanti ate tere tukam eva apiyanti. In the material world, Brahma, the prime evil living entity within the universe, is understood to be the supreme amongst the demigods, human beings, and lower animals. But beyond Brahma, there is transcendence, who has no material form. There's the operative phrase. He has no material form. Krishna has no material form and is free from all material contaminations. You and I do not have a material spiritual form. It is a spiritual form, which is non-material. Anyone who can know him also becomes transcendental, but those who do not know him suffer the miseries of the material world. The impersonalist puts more stress on the word arupa. So rupa means form, arupa means without form. But this arupam is not impersonal. It indicates the transcendental form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge as described in the Brahma Samhita quoted above. Other verses in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 3:8-9 substantiate this as follows. Vedaham etam purusham ahantam adichavarnam damasa paratstat tam eva viditvati mrityum eti nanya panta vijite yanaya yasmat param na paramasti kinchit yasmannani yo no jayosti kinchit rikshahi stabdo divitisjate kas tenedam purnam purushena sarvam. I know that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to all material conceptions of darkness. Only he who knows him can transcend the bonds of birth and death. There is no way for liberation other than the knowledge, this knowledge of that Supreme Person. There is no truth superior to that Supreme Person, because he is the supermost. He is smaller than the smallest, and he is greater than the greatest. That means he's inside every atom. Atom is very small. And he has room to jog in the atom. And he's greater than the greatest. He's bigger than the universe. All the universe is within. When Yashodamayi looked in Krishna's mouth, she saw all the universes in Krishna's mouth, also herself. So he is situated as a silent tree, and because you don't see him. And he illumines the transcendental sky, and as a tree spreads its roots, he spreads his extensive energies. Then, metaphorical stuff there. So Krishna is everything by his energies. Krishna has a separate identity. Krishna has his energy of the Brahma Jyoti. He is everything. From these verses, one concludes that the Supreme Absolute Truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all-pervading by his multi-energies, both material and spiritual. Easy to understand that. Text 8. Arasoham apsukonteha Prabhasmi sasi shuryayo pranavat sarva vedeshu shabda ke parasham rishu. Rasaha, taste. Aham, I. Apsu, in the water. Konteya, O son of Kunti. Prabha, the light. Asmi, I am. Shashi Surya Yoho, of the moon and the sun. Pranavaha, the three letters. Om. Sarva, in all. Vedeshu, the Vedas. Shabda, sound vibration. K, in the ether. Purusham, ability. Nrishu, in men. O son of Kunti, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon. The syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether and the ability of man. In other words, Krishna is everything. All the energies come from Krishna. In one sense, this computer is Krishna. In another sense, it's different because it's Krishna's energy. But Om is directly Krishna. A-U-M refers to Radha Krishna and the living entity. That's the same as Hare Krishna. This verse explains how the Lord is all-pervasive by his diverse material and spiritual energies. The Supreme Lord can be preliminarily perceived by his different energies, and in this way, he is realized impersonally. As the demigod in the sun is a person and perceived by his all-pervading energy, the sunshine, so the Lord, through his eternal, although in his eternal abode, is perceived by his all-pervading diffusive energies. Of course, there's that statement in the Brahma Samhita. Goloka evi nivasyate akilat mahuta. Krishna never leaves Goloka Vrindavan, but he expands as is different Vishnu tattva expansion, that means himself in different aspects, and also expands as his energies everywhere. The taste of water is the active principle of water. No one likes to drink seawater because the pure taste of water is mixed with salt. Attraction for water depends upon the purity of the taste, and this pure taste is one of the energies of the Lord. So in other words, we're supposed to, when we're drinking water, and the pure water, we should supposed to think, this taste is Krishna. The impersonalist perceives the presence of the Lord in water by its taste, and the personalist also glorifies the Lord for kindly supplying tasty water to quench man's thirst. That is the way of perceiving the Supreme. Practically speaking, there is no conflict between personalism and impersonalism. At least in the beginning. In the ultimate realization, there's a big conflict. One who knows God knows that this impersonal conception and personal conception are simultaneously present in everything, and there's no contradiction. But if one just remains in the impersonal conception, there is a contradiction, because he thinks that's all there is. But it's not all there is. There's the personal aspect and impersonal aspect. But the impersonal aspect is just part. Anyway, someone keeps sending chat messages. So the let me just check to see what people want. No, I'm not going to look at the chat window now. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya established his sublime doctrine, achincha beta and abheda tattva. Okay, let me explain what that means. Tattva means something that is. You know, a substantial, so-called ontology, forget about that big word, substantial identity of something that continues to exist. Like there is, for example, give you an example of a tattva. We're jiva tattva, we're the marginal energy of the Lord. That's our nature. That's our ontological description. And Krishna is Vishnu tattva. That means he's God. That's his tattva category. So there's different categories. In the material world is, you know, Maya. That's Krishna's illusory energy. That's a different tattva. So what this basically means, in dealing with these different tattvas, categories, let's use the word category, although it doesn't really mean category, it means something that, a category of something that is real. Okay, that's a good way to explain it. A category of something that is real. So achincha, so remember we're dealing with tattva now, a category of something that is real. Got it? A category of something that is real. So achincha means inconceivable. Chincha means conceivable. Achincha means inconceivable. So then the word beta means different. So it's inconceivable how Krishna is beta and abheda, which means non-different or the same. Let's use the word the same for abheda. And different from beta. Because ah is the opposite of beta. You can say non-different, beta is difference. Ah beta means non-difference. So Krishna is inconceivably different and non-different from all the different categories of existence. Wow. That's it. He's simultaneously different and non-different from all the categories of existence. He's inconceivably different and non-different from all the different categories of existence. And Prabhupada translates that as simultaneously oneness and difference. and also means achincha. Inconceivably, that is Krishna's nature. Let me see some. What's that? Whoops. Oh yeah, I'm doing chapter 7 again. That's right. Thank you for reminding me. Anyway, we went back to chapter 7. We're supposed to be in chapter 8. Shows the imperfections here. So let's go back to, chapter 8. Sorry about that. I knew we were repeating things. Text 7. Error. All right. No harm in going over it again. All right. That was the message. Okay. So, now we'll begin again. There's no harm. It's all nectar. So, text 7. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yudyacha mayarpitamano buddhir mamivaishasi samshayaha. Tasmat, therefore, sarveshu, at all. Kaleshu, times, mam, me. Anusmara, go on remembering. Yudya, fight. Cha, also. Mayi, unto me. Adipita, surrendering. Manaha, mind, buddhi, intellect. Mam, unto me. Eva, surely. Ace, yashi, you will attain. Asamshaya, which probably means without doubt. Yeah, beyond a doubt. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. So here Krishna is making the point that if you want to remember him at the time of death, thinking of your prescribed duty or your service to Krishna is non-different from Krishna. And this is one way of having your mind and intelligence fixed on Krishna. So purport. This instruction to Arjuna is very important for all men engaged in material activities. The Lord does not say that one should give up his prescribed duty or engagements. One can continue them and at the same time think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. This will free one from material contamination and engage the mind and intelligence in Krishna. By chanting Krishna's names, one will be transferred to the supreme planet, Krishna Loka, without a doubt. So in other words, thinking of Krishna, and especially thinking of Krishna at the time of death, which is what the 8th chapter is dealing with, should not be thought of as just as inactivity. You just sit and think of Krishna. You're supposed to work for Krishna, which helps you fix your mind on Krishna. Text 8. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamana paramam purusham divyam yati partanu chintayan. Abhyasa yoga, by practice, yuktena, being engaged in meditation, chetasa, by the mind and intelligence, na ananyagamana, without their being deviated, paramam, the supreme, purusham, person, Alavi Godhead, Divyam, transcendental, Yati, one achieves, Partha, son of Pritha, Anuchintyan, constantly thinking of. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. Now, as I mentioned before, to meditate on Krishna also means to meditate on what Krishna wants from you, your service, to meditate on Krishna's devotees, to meditate on Krishna's pastimes, to meditate on Krishna's holy abode. All these things are non-different than meditating on that. Non-different, that is exactly the same as meditating on Krishna. So if you do that, you reach Krishna. Purport. In this verse, Lord Krishna stresses the importance of remembering him. One's memory of Krishna is revived by chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna. By this practice of chanting and hearing the sound vibration of the Supreme Lord, one's ear, tongue, and mind are engaged. This mystic meditation is very easy to practice, and it helps one attain the Supreme Lord. Purusham means enjoyer. Although living entities belong to the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord, they are in material contamination. They think themselves enjoyers, but they are not the Supreme Enjoyer. Here it is clearly stated that the Supreme Enjoyer is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his different manifestations and expansions as Narayan, Vasudeva, etc. The devotee can constantly think of the object of worship, the Supreme Lord, in any of his features, Narayana, Krishna, Rama, etc., by chanting Hare Krishna. This practice will purify him, and at the end of his life, due to his constant chanting, he will be transferred to the kingdom of God. Yoga practice is meditation on the super soul within. Similarly, by chanting Hare Krishna, one fixes his mind always on the Supreme Lord. The mind is fickle, and therefore, it is necessary to engage the mind by force to think of Krishna. One example often is given is that of the caterpillar that thinks of becoming a butterfly and so is transformed into a butterfly in the same life. Similarly, if we constantly think of Krishna, it is certain that at the end of our lives we shall have the same bodily constitution as Krishna. So here is another guarantee by Prabhupada. Now, we were asked this question earlier today, that how is it that many of us came to Krishna consciousness in this lifetime and that we were completing our Krishna consciousness that we didn't complete in some past lifetime, when Prabhupada actually has guaranteed that if we stick with Krishna consciousness in this lifetime, we will go back to Godhead. So how is it, you know, it's apparently a contradiction. So my answer is that Prabhupada is giving us very special mercy. I think more mercy than any acharya has ever given anyone in the past in terms of a large number of people. And certainly we can see that Prabhupada is the first acharya to ever go into a group of extremely, or a country of extremely degraded people, America, and come out with so many great devotees at the end. I mean, it's simply amazing. He's the first acharya to accomplish this. And we told the story about how once upon a time there was someone who was expert in reading faces, and one of my godbrothers, Atmatattva, went to this person and showed him a picture of Prabhupada, and this person measured the different dimensions of Prabhupada's face and said that all the acharyas are manifest, or the energy of all the acharyas are manifest, or the mercy of all the acharyas are manifest in the person of this person, who is His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada is giving us a special dispensation. I mean, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most munificent. But when you have an acharya like Prabhupada, then you get even more munificence, more compassion than even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if we constantly remain in Krishna consciousness throughout our whole lives, Prabhupada is guaranteed we will go back to home, back to Godhead. That means following the practices of Krishna consciousness. So, Kavim Puranam Anushashitaram Manoraniyam Sam Anusmaradya Sarvasya Datta Ramachincha Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastat. Kavim, the one who knows everything, Puranam, the oldest, Anushashitaram, the controller, on a whole, then the Adam, Aniyam, some smaller, Anusmaret, always thinks of, Yah, one who, Sarvasha, of everything, Dataram, the maintainer, Achinchin, conceivable, Rupam, whose form, Adityavarnam, luminous like the sun, Tamasaha, to darkness, Parastat. Transcendental. One should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and he is transcendental beyond this material nature. So here Krishna is giving us some hints how to meditate on him in the beginning of devotional service. It's the beginning. Because we know when one comes close to perfecting his devotional service, one just meditates on Krishna in Vrindavan with his coward boyfriends, the gopis, Mother Yashoda, and his servants, and his wonderful, attractive pastimes. But in the beginning, before one has actually had that realization, one has to worship Krishna in a mood of awe and reverence. Awe and reverence means, here's someone who knows everything. He's the oldest. Doesn't look old, but he's the oldest. Who controls everything. He can be smaller than the smallest, bigger than the biggest, maintains everything. He's beyond our ability to understand, which is inconceivable. And he's a person. And he has brightness, millions of unlimited times more than the sun. And transcendental. So these are all aspects of the Lord in his feature of opulence. In other words, his feature of worshiping him in awe and reverence. So Krishna is great. But then as one advances, one just develops a very intimate, loving exchange with Krishna, and one meditates upon Krishna in a different mood. But in the beginning, yes, this is the mood. Prabhupada says, the process of thinking of the Supreme is mentioned in this verse. The foremost point is that he is not impersonal or void. One cannot meditate on something impersonal or void. That is very difficult. The process of thinking of Krishna, however, is very easy, as factually stated herein. First of all, the Lord is Purusha, person. We think of the person Rama and the person Krishna. And whether one thinks of Rama or Krishna, what he is like is described in this verse in Bhagavad Gita. The Lord is Kavi, that is, he knows past, present, and future, and therefore he knows everything. He is the oldest personality because he is the origin of everything. Everything is born out of him. He is also the supreme controller of the universe, and he is the maintainer and instructor of humanity. He is smaller than the smallest. The living entity is 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair. But the Lord is so inconceivably small that he enters into the heart of this particle. Therefore, he is called smaller than the smallest. As the Supreme, he can enter into the atom and into the heart of the smallest and control him as the super soul. Although so small, he is still all-pervading and maintaining everything. By him, all these planetary systems are sustained. We often wonder how these big planets are floating in the air. It is stated here that the Supreme Lord, by his inconceivable energy, is sustaining all these big planets and systems of galaxies. The word achincha, inconceivable, is very significant in this connection. God's energy is beyond our conception, beyond our thinking jurisdiction, is therefore called inconceivable. Achincha, there's that ah in front of chincha. Chincha means to conceive or understand. Who can argue this point? He pervades this material world and yet is beyond it. We cannot comprehend even this material world, which is insignificant compared to the spiritual world. So how can we comprehend what is beyond? Achincha means that which is beyond this material world, that which our argument, logic, and philosophical speculation cannot touch, that which is inconceivable. Therefore, intelligent persons, avoiding useless argument and speculation, should accept what is stated in scriptures like the Vedas, Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam, and follow the principles they set down. This will lead one to understanding. So that's the nature of Krishna. He's achincha. Of course, the typical story Prabhupada tells in that regard is of Narada Muni going to the spiritual world, asking on behalf of a Brahmin, on behalf of a cobbler, whether each one is going back to Godhead. And then the Lord in the spiritual world tells Narada Muni to tell each one of those people, the Brahmin and the cobbler, that the Lord is putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. So that's inconceivable. So then Narada Muni goes back to the Brahmin. He tells him the Lord is putting the elephant through the eye of a needle again and again and again. The Brahmin says, that's impossible. And then Narada Muni goes back to the cobbler, which is a shoemaker, and he says the same thing, and the shoemaker, being very soft-hearted and devotional and with great faith, says, that's not such a big deal. And Narada Muni says, why do you think it's not such a big deal? And the cobbler says, because he can also put a whole tree within a seed. If you can do that, you can put an elephant through an eye of a needle. So, in other words, one should not be incredulous when they hear that the Lord does all these different things. Of course, we read about the Lord's pastimes in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The other cantos, we read about the Lord creating the material world in all sorts of amazing ways, and the structure of the material world in all sorts of amazing detail. So one should understand these things are not conceivable to our tiny little brain. Just like the example Prabhupada gave of a frog in a well cannot conceive of the extent of the ocean, the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean. Because we just don't have experience. There's a lot of things you can't conceive of. And when you can't conceive of something, sometimes you don't even see it when it exists. There's that one story that psychologists wrote about, that there was a group of islanders somewhere who had never seen a big boat before, and they've seen tiny little boats. And even when the big boat appeared on the horizon, they didn't see it because it just didn't fit into any of the categories they were used to seeing. It's interesting. If something doesn't fit into your category, sometimes you don't see it. Okay, next text. Prayana kale manasa chalena bhaccha yukto yogavalena chaiva purvor maje pranam avesha samyak satam param purusham upaiti divyam. Prayana kale, at the time of death, manasaha, manasa, by the mind, achalena, without its being deviated, bhakcha, and full devotion, yuktaha, engaged, yogavalena, by the power of mystic yoga, cha, also, eva, certainly, bruvaho, the two eyebrows, maje, between, pranam, the life air, avesha, establishing, samyak, completely, saha, he, tam, that, whoops, param, transcendental, purusham, personality of Godhead, upaiti, achieves, divyam, in the spiritual kingdom. One who at the time of death fixes his life air between the eyebrows and by the strength of yoga, with an undeviating mind, engages himself in remembering the Supreme Lord in full devotion, will certainly attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, of course, that's in reference to the Hatha Yoga system, where you fix your life air between your eyebrows and you engage with an undeviating mind. But a devotee just remembers the Lord's pastimes in full devotion, and he doesn't have to do anything with his life air between the eyebrows and do any type of yoga other than bhakti yoga, and then he goes back to Godhead. In this verse, it is clearly stated that the time of death, the mind must be fixed in devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For those practicing yoga, it is recommended that they raise the life force between the eyebrows to the Agya Agna Chakra. The practice of Satkriya Chakra Yoga involving meditation on the six chakras is suggested here. A pure devotee does not practice such yoga, but because he is always engaged in Krishna consciousness at death, he can remember the Supreme Personality Godhead by his grace, that means by Krishna's grace. This is explained in verse 14. The particular use of the word yoga balena is significant in this verse because without practice of yoga, whether sat chakra yoga or bhakti yoga, one cannot come to this transcendental state of being at the time of death. One cannot suddenly remember the Supreme Lord at death. One must have practiced some yoga system, especially the system of bhakti yoga. Since one's mind at death is very disturbed, one should practice transcendence through yoga during one's life. Text 11. Yad aksharam veda vido vedanti vishanti yat yatriyo vitturagaha yad icchanto brahmacharyam charanti tate padam san grahena pravakshe. Yet that which Aksharam, syllable Om, Veda Vidaha, persons conversant with the Vedas, Vedanti say, Vishanti enter, yet in which Yateha, great sages, Vitaragaha, in the renounced order of life, yet that which Ichantaha, desiring brahmacharyam celibacy, charanti practice, tat that te unto you, padam situation, sangrahena in summary, pravakshe, I shall explain. Persons who are learned in the Vedas, who utter Omkara, and who are great sages in the renounced order, enter into Brahman. Desiring such perfection, one practices celibacy. I shall now briefly explain to you this process by which one may attain salvation. So here we're talking about Sat Chakra Yoga. Anyway, Lord Krishna has recommended to Arjuna the practice of Sat Chakra Yoga, in which one places the air of life between the eyebrows, taking it for granted that Arjuna might not know how to practice Sat Chakra Yoga. The Lord explains the process in the following verses. The Lord says that Brahman, although he is one without a second, has various manifestations and features. Especially for the impersonalists, the Akshara or Omkara, the syllable Om is identical with Brahman. Krishna here explains the impersonal Brahman into which the renounced order of sages enter. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody who's in the renounced order and their devotees goes into the impersonal Brahman, but the renounced order of sages who are not devotees. They have to practice very, very strictly. Now it says here in the verse about, of course, in the renounced order, whether you're devotees or not devotees, you have to practice celibacy. But for devotees to go back to Godhead, they could be married, they can have children and things like that if they're in the Grahastha order of life. So the same restrictions don't apply to those in Bhakti Yoga. In the Vedic system of knowledge, students from the very beginning are taught to vibrate Om, and learn of the impersonal Brahman, ultimate impersonal Brahman, by living with the spiritual master in complete celibacy. In this way, they realize two of Brahman's features. This practice is very essential for the student's advancement in spiritual life, but at the moment such brahmachari, unmarried celibate life, is not at all possible. The social construction of the world has changed so much that there's no possibility of one's practicing celibacy from the beginning of student life. Throughout the world, there are many institutions for different departments of knowledge, but there is no recognized institution where students can be educated in the brahmachari principles. Unless one practices celibacy, advancement in spiritual life is very difficult. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has announced, according to the scriptural injunctions, in this age of Kali, or for this age of Kali, that in this age, no process of realizing the Supreme is possible except the chanting of the holy names of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In other words, we don't practice Chakra Yoga. We practice Bhakti Yoga. And there's much more leniency. And we don't really do what's mentioned in the next verse either. Sarva Dwarani Samyama Mano Riddhi Nirudacha Murjayatta Yatmana Pranam Ashtito Yoga Dharanam Sarvadwarani, all the doors of the body, Samyama Yamya, controlling Manaha, the mind, Riddhi in the heart, Nirudya, confining, Cha also, Murdni on the head, Adaya, fixing, Atmanaha, the soul, Pranam, the life air, Ashtataha, situated in, Yoga Dharanam, the yogic situation. The yogic situation is that of detachment from all sensual engagements, closing all the doors of the senses and fixing the mind on the heart and the life air at the top of the head. One establishes himself in yoga. Not for us. To practice yoga as suggested here, one first has to close the doors of all sense enjoyment. This practice is called pratyahara, or withdrawing the senses from sense objects. The sense organs for acquiring knowledge, the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and touch, should be fully controlled and should not be allowed to engage in sense gratification. In this way, the mind focuses on the supersoul in the heart and the life force is raised to the top of the head. In the sixth chapter, this process is described in detail, but as mentioned before, this practice is not possible or practical in this age. The best process is Krishna consciousness. If one is always able to fix his mind on Krishna and devotional service, it is very easy for him to remain in an undisturbed transcendental trance or in samadhi. And so we will end here for this evening. All right. So now we will take questions. All right, just wait a second. We'll be on YouTube. Okay. Who has a question?
Hey, Krishna Gurudev, this is Adi Guru.
Oh, Adi Guru.
Gurudev, I have two-part question. I think it's more to the hardcore, the philosophical question. When you said achintya bheda abheda tattva, so you were referring to simultaneously one and different. The first question is that the simultaneously oneness is regarding to the qualitative and the different is the quantitative?
That's in reference to the jiva soul.
Okay.
That's not in reference to everything. See, when we talk about a chincha beta beta tattva, which is simultaneous, well, let's say inconceivable. Let's start with inconceivable. Inconceivable one difference. Then the jiva soul is qualitatively the same, but not quantitatively the same. But if you're talking about other energies of the Lord, because this achintya beta beta tattva refers to all the energies of the Lord, not just the jiva, then you can't, let's say you're talking about the material energy, maya shakti, you know, Vishnu shakti parabrakta shetrakti akitatavra, avidya karma sanganya chutir shakti ishate. Avidya karma means the maya shakti, you know, the illusory energy, material energy. So let's say you're talking about the illusory material energy. That is not qualitatively the same as Krishna. Nor is it quantitatively the same as Krishna. So it's not that all the energies of the Lord or everything referred to in the phrase achintya bheda bheda tattva is qualitatively the same as Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I got it. So
that was a good question. Jiva soul is what is qualitatively the same, but not quantitatively the same. But not all the energies of Krishna like that.
The second part of the question is, Gurudev, how different is our core philosophy to the Dvaita?
Okay. Madhvacharya's philosophy is Dvaita.
Yes.
So Dvaita philosophy is not that, I mean, it's close. Like there's God and his material energy, but you don't really, like the energy comes from God, but it's not considered non-different from God or one and different from God simultaneously. In other words, it's almost like in Christianity, like the prime mover philosophy. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but let me explain. The prime mover philosophy in Christianity is that God creates everything and then he just steps out of the way. You understand? It's like, let's say the first game of the season in baseball, because you probably don't know about baseball, but anyway. Or the first ball is thrown out or whatever, the season, and then it's up to the players to do whatever they're going to do. So it's not that God is present everywhere. This is his energy, but he's not really present in his energy. He's sort of like enjoying in the spiritual world. I mean, there's a lot of other aspects of the Dvaita philosophy that were taught by Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya even taught that certain souls are inherently, you know, just stay in the material world forever. Whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that any soul can come out of the material world. They're not inherently, let's say, evil or condemned or conditioned like that. So there's quite a bit of difference between the Tattvavada understanding, that's Madhvacharya's teachings, and the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, it's interesting that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings of Achinchabeda Vedatattva are most similar to Ramanujacharya's Vishishtadvaita.
Yes, yes. Qualified, you know, non-dualism.
Yeah, qualified non-dualism. So it's you'll find that our philosophy, it's interesting, even though we're members of the Mahamantra Gaudiya Sampradaya, our particular understanding is practically identical with Sripada Ramanujacharya's teaching. So it's very interesting. Anyway, interesting for some people.
Thank you.
So yeah, so Achinchabeda Vedatattva and dualism are different in many respects, but all the Vaishnava Acharyas, whether they taught Shuddha Dvaita or Dvaita Dvaita or Achinchabeda Tattva or Vishishta Dvaita, they're all dedicated to opposing the impersonalists. All four of the Vaishnava Acharyas. They're all convinced and trying to convince others that God is a person ultimately. And he's there in the spiritual world. Now, in Ramanujacharya's Sampradaya, there's basically his worship of Lakshmi Narayan. And Radha and Krishna are considered to be, by them, to be an expansion of Lakshmi Narayan. And they may consider that all the other forms of God, they come from Lakshmi Narayan, including Radha, including Krishna. You know, so they consider Lakshmi Narayan to be the supreme form. Although that's really in opposition to what the Bhagavatam teaches in the list of incarnations. Bhagavatam says, Eti Changsa Kalakpum Sa Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. So Krishna is considered, every other incarnation is considered an expansion of Krishna. Every other expansion is considered an expansion. Every other incarnation is considered an expansion of Krishna. And Krishna is considered to be the original Bhagavan, Bhagavan Swayam. So Shastric evidence proves that Krishna is actually the source of all other incarnations. Also in the Brahma Samhita, you have the same evidence there. Advaita Chuta Nadi Renanta Rupa Madhyam Purana Purusham Yoganam Cha, as well as other verses stating that Krishna is like one candle and the other incarnations or avatars, they're like candles that are lit from that one candle and Krishna is the original candle. So anyway, so Madhvacharya, and there's some other little small differences with Madhvacharya's presentation. Madhvacharya didn't really present the Brahma Vimohana Leela pastime because he felt that this would actually, let's say, indicate that Lord Brahma was a Maya. And Lord Brahma is our first preceptor. So, other little details that are not really so consequential. But the real important thing is that Krishna is present everywhere in his material energy. Just like the example Prabhupada gives, the sun is present everywhere in the sunshine, but also has its separate existence in space. And also there's a person in the sun president, or the sun deity, like that. So what Prabhupada presented and what Lord Chaitanya presented is the actual understanding of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and also Ramanujacharya too. So it's interesting the difference between Dvaita and Achinchabeda Vedatattva. Thank you for asking that question. A little technical. Who else has a question?
Hare Krishna. This is Rishikesh.
Rishikesh, okay.
Gurudeva, in 14th chapter, 26th verse, Krishna says, you know, if one engages uninterrupted devotional service, he can transcend the three modes of material nature.
That's right.
But when I am already in three modes of material nature, interrupted constantly by three modes of material nature, how am I supposed to do uninterrupted devotional service?
Well, just engage in devotional service all the time. That doesn't mean only chanting, it means whatever you do, you know, yat karoshi, yat nashi, yat johoshi, nadasi, yat yatapashashi, kondiya, tat kurishwa, whatever. Whatever you do, whatever you offer should be done as an offering to Krishna. When you're working your job, then you're working your job as an offering to Krishna. In other words, the results of that job have to go to Krishna. And that is also your spare time should be utilized to serve Krishna. So somehow or other dovetail all your activities in Krishna's service, and that's uninterrupted devotional service. Like even when one is sleeping, if one is sleeping to regain their energy to be able to serve Krishna, that's also part of uninterrupted devotional service. When you're eating, taking prasadam, that's part of uninterrupted devotional service. When you're fighting with your family, that's not part of uninterrupted devotional service.
Practically, Gurudev, it's just so difficult to be uninterrupted, constantly engaged in devotional service. That is, I find it practically impossible. I can do it as much as I can, but it's impossible for me to constantly engage.
Try your best. Krishna says in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna says it's impossible, Arjuna actually says that in the sixth chapter, Chanchalahi Manaha Krishna Pramati Bhava Drudam. The mind is restless, turbulent, very strong. Krishna and subdue it is more difficult than subduing the wind. Krishna answers by practice, constant practice. Constant practice, he said, and detachment. So it's a question of practice. I'm not saying that you have to do it now, but if you practice, you'll be able to do it. It just takes time.
Sixth chapter, Gurudev, Abhyasena tu Kaunteya Vairagyena cha Gruhyate.
Yeah, that's the verse. By constant practice, Abhyasena Kaunteya. By constant practice and detachment. That's how Krishna answers the objection that Arjuna gives. Right? So practice. And when you realize how far, when one realizes how far one is from the perfection, then that's an impetus, it's a challenge. Instead of getting discouraged and thinking, oh my God, I can't live up to the mark, one should take it as a challenge. I mean, devotional service is meant to be almost like a kshatriya mentality. That you have challenges. Life without challenges is a boring life. So try to figure out a way that you can consider every aspect of your life as an offering to Krishna. Whether you're working a job, whether you're driving, of course you're not driving to work right now, obviously in lockdown, whether you're cooking, whether you're taking care of your family, whatever you're doing. Actually, it was Krishna's arrangement. We went over the seventh chapter again because that was, I guess it was actually Adi Guru's desire to hear about Achincha Beda Veda Tadwa. He was desiring so strongly, Yoga Maya covered me and maybe do part of the seventh chapter again. I really enjoy that. I really enjoyed talking about Achincha Beda Veda Tattva, and I think I gave a more complete explanation of Achincha Beda Tattva than I did when we actually did the seventh chapter. So who has a question? Oh, I see Sumukh has his hand up.
Yes, Gurudev.
Okay.
I have one question. I was listening to one class this morning of His Holiness Bhakti Swaroop Swami Maharaj.
Uh-huh.
And he said that there are six types of avatars of the Lord: Guna avatar, Purusha avatar, Leela avatar.
Yeah,
avatar.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You'll find that okay. In teachings of Lord Chaitanya and also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Okay. The question is, we know very well that in one day of Brahma, the Supreme Personality of Lord Krishna comes once.
Yes.
Right. So, that is 1,000 yugas.
Sahasra yuga paryanta maham yash.
Okay. So in Dwapar Yuga, Krishna comes. So
yes.
What happens to the other 9,099 yugas of Dwapar. What happens those time? Who comes there?
Well, let's start with yuga number one, yuga number two. There's unlimited incarnations.
No, in Dwapar Yuga.
You want me to list everything from... Of course, it's a Sahasra Yuga Pariyantam, 1,000 Divya Yugas. Anyway, so that's a lot.
No, means my question is...
There's many incarnations as waves in the ocean. If you ask me who comes and what particular Kali Yuga of a particular Divya Yuga, I would have to have more knowledge than is there in all the Vedic literature to be able to answer that question.
Okay.
Which I don't have. But there's it's described in the Bhagavatam that there's many avatars as waves of the ocean. In other words, unlimited. Krishna incarnates in every species of life. He has a fish avatar, he has a tortoise avatar. And many avatars you haven't even heard of. Majority you haven't even heard of.
Yeah.
It's unlimited.
I was thinking there wouldn't be any incarnation in Dwapar Yuga. So I was
thinking. There's always an incarnation in Dwapar Yuga. There's always a Yuga avatar.
Oh.
But it's, you know, it's not Krishna. Other than once in a day. Yeah. I mean, it's Krishna in a different aspect.
Understood.
Unlimited. There's so much variety. I mean, Krishna's not a stereotype God that he just does things in one particular way. You know, he's unlimited. He's God. And he's not waiting around to incarnate. Because at this particular point, he's appearing in some universe. Right now, he's stealing the butter from the gopis in some universe, some other universe, and he's being chastised by Mother Yashoda, is being tied to a grinding mortar in some universe right now. And then also in the spiritual world, the pastimes are going on simultaneously. This is what another meaning of the word inconceivable, achincha. He's God. His glories are so unlimited that even Anantashesh cannot reach an end of the glorification of Krishna or an end of the explanation of Krishna. And if you expect me to know about all the avatars of Krishna, you're asking the wrong person. You need to ask Krishna that question, because even the acharyas are not going to be able to answer that question.
Thank you.
He's unlimited. He's Ananta. Ananta Rupam. Right? Dvaita,
yes.
Chuta, Anadya, Ananta Rupam, Ajam Prana, Purusham, Navyovacham. But he's still always young, even though he does all these things. He never gets old like me. He never loses his hair. He never gets the virus. Even when Krishna is apparently sick, this makes believe he'd be alone with his wife. You know that pastime? No. Well, that's Lord Jagannath's pastime. When there's the bathing ceremony of Lord Jagannath, everyone is thinking he's sick. But his real point, he's making a trick so he can be alone with the goddess. The fortune. You understand? He's not really sick. He just wants to have some quality time with his wife. And then after 2 weeks of quality time with his wife, he wants to have some quality time with his girlfriends. And then he goes on the Rath Yatra. That's Lord Jagannath. You know, Snana Yatra. Snana is the bathing ceremony of Lord Jagannath. And he makes believe he is sick, and all the devotees are worried that he's sick. But actually, he's not sick. He just wants to be alone with his wife. Everybody wants 2 weeks off with pay. So anyway, so Krishna has his transcendental body, Ananda, Advaita Chuta, Anadir, he's without a beginning. Anadir Adir Govinda. He's the cause of all causes. Advaita Chuta Nadir, Ananta Rupam, he has unlimited forms. But Navayovanam Cha, he's always youthful. Advaita Chuta Nadir. So Ananta Rupam. So unlimited incarnations. And so how can I possibly know about all of his avatars and incarnations? Impossible. I'm just an ordinary jiva soul. But Krishna does appear. Okay, I think on that note, it's actually late. Thank you all for your questions. Some of them philosophical, some of them practical. And you can always order that book. I think Gopal put the advertisement. No, he didn't put the advertisement. Anyway, so one day we'll put the advertisement for Gopal's book. Gopal's wife's book. Gopal, you're still there? No? How can people order your wife's book? I guess he's not listening. Oh, here it is. Chitralekha found it on Amazon. Okay, she just sent it to everyone. So you quickly copy that link. It's available on Amazon. Amazon.com. You see, just click on the link, copy the link, you can order that book. Okay, on that happy note, we'll see everybody tomorrow. She has a very excellent cookbook for Ekadashis, so you don't have to fast anymore. You can enjoy life. Okay, all glorious to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.